The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of The Show Radio. This is episode 524 of The Show. I'm your host, Andrew, and this is your source for tech, gaming, and entertainment news. Head over to theshowradio.info. Once again, that's theshowradio.info. And check out our past shows while we're there. While you're there, tell a friend about the show. So this episode, I definitely want to tell you about Libsyn, L-I-B-S-Y-N, which is my podcast hosting platform. They've been around since 2004. They're IAB certified, state-of-the-art podcaster publishing tools they give you, available at all hosting levels, 20 plus optional on publish destination, including Spotify, Pandora, iHeart, and more. You get a podcaster smartphone app for iOS and Android, branded podcast pages, and mobile player. I got to give it to you. You know, this is one of the best podcasting platforms I've been able to use ever since I jumped on it. I used to use Block Talk Radio. I jumped on Libsyn somewhere around episode 115. Now we're at episode 524. So get 1 month free of hosting by using the promo code TSR. Once again, that's TSR. Get one free month of this awesome podcasting platform. And yeah, definitely wanted to give you that. Also, this episode, we talk about the PlayStation 5 Tech Talk that took place today. And I gave some creation mindset towards the end of that. And also, I mentioned on our last episode that my Voice Media tutorial, I've been really promoting that heavily because I know a lot of individuals are not necessarily going to get a mixer. So because they're not going to get a mixer, I took the time for you, because I definitely wanted you to have this resource to do amazing things with Voice Media Banana. So definitely, I'll have a link in the show notes for that. And that's it. So on with the show. Hope you enjoyed this conversation. PlayStation 5 Tech Talk reactions. This was done on a live stream. I decided to bring the audio here. And also some creative process thoughts towards the tail end of this conversation. Enjoy.
Yeah, you see, I knew it was going to be a tech talk. I knew it was going to be a tech talk, man. I knew it wasn't going to be anything, you know, super with videos or trailers or anything like that. So with the bit that you were able to catch, what did you think? Thoughts? Nah, man. They talked about the SSD for the first 20 minutes. They talked about custom GPU and how they made improvements there. And they also talked about the 3D audio at the end. So what's your take? Give me some takes. So I'm sure a lot of individuals are going to be upset about the fact that this was more of a tech talk than anything else. So I'm not really surprised, man. You wanted a reveal. Glenn Fishy, it sounds amazing. Right? So I'm not really surprised that they decided to go this route, because there's a lot going on in the world today, as you guys know, and we're all being affected by it, and not necessarily infected by it, right? And because of this, they had to decide how they were going to make certain presentations. Xbox just revealed some of the stuff yesterday. Glenn, thanks for stopping through. And so PlayStation decided to do the PowerPoint presentation with some social distancing in the audience, with four or five people that we can visibly see. At first, they didn't even look like people. I didn't think that they were people until the guy to the, let me see, one, two, three, maybe the third from the left started leaning back a little bit. Maybe he was getting glazed over based on the presentation, but I didn't really think it was, there were real people in that. You thought they were cardboard stand. Yeah. So I didn't think that they were real people. Once I saw Karina Jose, I knew it was going to be very technical. Yeah, which is true, because his presentations are always good. Now, I'm not going to beat up the presentation, okay? I'm not going to say anything that's negative about the presentation, because we know when it comes to presentations, they do a fantastic job, right? So I got to give it to them there. Now, for the individuals who are waiting for a super trailer or something amazing, maybe see the 3D audio in action with the Tempest engine and all that stuff. For those who were actually excited to see those things, they're going to trash this presentation, right? I would have fallen asleep if I were there. I do have the tech angle, as you don't always get that, which is true, which is true. The tech talk was really nice. It was. And I think that not a lot of people are going to like it because we're not necessarily focused on that. And as I was saying before, during the presentation, when it comes to teraflops and things of that nature, I like the Apple approach with presentations. Like even this one was a little bit more technical than a standard Apple presentation, right? Because when Apple presents, it usually says something like, this is more powerful, 5 times more powerful than the previous, or 3 times more powerful than the previous thing, right? So the Apple presentation is as simple as it can be because they understand the market that they're presenting to. So this one, on the other hand, you know, it was very similar, but it had more technical terms and involved in the actual presentation itself. So I didn't mind that so much, but it was like, okay, I get it. So today you're going to present, you're going to talk about the SSD, you're going to talk about the GPU, you're going to talk about the 3D audio, right? So that's for me, that's where I was. So I was able to stay awake, right, for the presentation because I knew exactly what I was expecting to hear. And because I kind of like those things on a very, very light, technical spectrum for me. So it was easy for me to capture that and understand it. How do you think the console compares to the new Xbox? I think that it still seems like it's blurry as it relates to how we're looking at the information, right? Because my thing with this next console generation, as we're preparing to do almost hybrids between the PC and the console stuff, I think everyone is going to be at a better spot because both companies understand that we need to make sure that you can play all of our products, right? Even when he talked about backwards compatibility, I'm like, okay, so the backwards compatibility is built into the PlayStation 5. So even if you change the design of the PlayStation 5 in the future, it's not going to affect the backwards compatibility. As we saw in the PlayStation, I think we were saying the PlayStation 3, where some of the newer versions of the console, they removed the feature for the backwards compatibility, which a lot of people were upset about. So I think that they're really playing their cards right according to how much information that they're giving out based on the competition, the market itself. And I think that both parties will be happy with what they receive. I think that the games are going to be the deciding factor on what's happening, right? So when you look at the Xbox situation, some people were upset that they were going to get new games right away, but the Xbox is really going with the fact that, hey, we're going to make sure that you can play so many games on all different platforms, even with the cloud, with the Project X Cloud and that platform itself. So you're going to have things to play. We're just going to give you the option for how much power you want, right? Do you want the power from the previous consoles, or do you want the power that we're going to have in a new console? And then the thing is, we get upset at the beginning, not necessarily me included at this point, but we get upset at what we usually get at the beginning of a console generation. But most of us don't really pay attention to all the tech and things that happen, right? And those generations, we really don't care. I think it's a lot of point for conversation for us who love to talk about these things, but we really don't care at the end of it. I don't care about a teraflop, okay? Are the teraflops the end all be all? I really don't care about teraflops, okay? I couldn't even tell you what the teraflop is for the PlayStation 4. I'll take a guess, right? I'll say maybe 8, right? Maybe the Xbox has a little bit more, or maybe it's backwards. Maybe the PlayStation had more than Xbox. I don't know. It really doesn't matter for me as it relates to the teraflop stuff. Space, right? SSD was a big conversation. So the space that we're going to get, I think he mentioned 825 gigs, and I guess with wiggle room for other things. So if you're able to put in the, you know, an external hard drive for that, which is great. So I was running SSD on a PlayStation 4 as an external hard drive, and that worked fantastic. I changed the internal to a 2 terabyte standard drive, and then I used a 256 gig SSD for an external drive. So happy I kept my fat 60 gig PS3. Power probably even out, but like you said, it all comes down to games and how they utilize their power. Yeah, and if there's not a lot of games, and of course these subscription models that we've seen have become like the standard of like our generation, right? You can go from ESPN's Plus, Disney Plus, Hulu, Netflix, and any other streaming platforms that we have that stuff. Then you have the Game Pass. And then, of course, PlayStation had a particular package. Maybe they'll combine their streaming game package with the actual PlayStation monthly or yearly, depending how you decide to pay for that. So we have all these things in place. But for me and for some of you, when it comes to game collection, you want the actual box, right? With the CD and stuff like that. And I think we've gone away from that based on how we're getting a lot of digital downloads. Like my Destiny is a digital download. Division is digital download, right? So most of the games, the Batman recently, the sale that they had not a couple of months ago, those are all digital. So some of us are taking advantage of both the digital side of things as well as being able to order the game on Amazon and getting a collector's edition of some sort, right? So I think that at the end of the day, when we really take the time to look at it, it really comes down to the experience that we're going to have on the console, how much supply, right, is going to be available, right? And design might affect some individuals, but if you really want the console, it doesn't matter what it looks like. It could look like a banana. You're still going to decide to get it anyway, right? So design may affect some individuals at the beginning. And then games will be good. So there's going to be some different purchases that you're going to have to consider. If the Tempest engine is going to be something that is proprietary to PlayStation, which it is, then your headphones are going to be able to, they may decide to make a product for that, a specific product for to get the best sound as we intended for the PlayStation 5, as far as the Tempest engine is concerned with the 3D audio, you're going to have to put out for that, right? And then maybe the first year or first 2 years, you may only have the official licensed PlayStation 5 headphones, right, from PlayStation. And they're not going to license out the technology of the Tempest maybe 2 years in or 3 years in, depending on how fast they do that. So if, as he was mentioning, the way he talked about Dolby Atmos is like, yeah, Dolby Atmos is cool, but this is what we have here, right? This is what's coming. Dolby Atmos is cool. It reaches up to this, but what we have is, this is pretty cool. This is way more cool, right? So if that's the case, then what we're looking at now is more product, right? That's definitely what we're looking at. We're looking at more product from PlayStation themselves. And that's what they do. You know, for everything that they come out with, you're going to get another product. And we're just going to have to be okay with that whole situation itself. So so I think it was a pretty good tech talk. I'm not mad at it at all. I wanted to see some trailers, if anything. So trailers I wanted to see. But we didn't get trailers. We got a dope tech talk. Let's just see. Touch base on that. So yeah, so those are my thoughts on it right now. I mean, I'll think about it some more. But I think it was good. for what they intended to put out, I think it was good for individuals to, I mean, you could easily write a white paper on this, right? Just on the presentation alone. So I think that it was definitely something that was needed because they were quiet for a while. They didn't attend E3 last year. They didn't attend E3 this year. Nobody could attend E3 this year, right? Or anything. So we needed to see something from them, right? And typically around this time, especially when they're launching a new console, we usually get information about what they're doing from the tech side of things anyway. So this is not necessarily a surprising presentation. This is something that we expect from PlayStation, because whenever they're about to release a console, they give you the tech talk. So I think I dig it. What did you like about it, though? Besides understanding that this is the expectations, what did you guys think? Sometimes you forget what it takes to make a console operate, so that was good. But some videos on PS5 games would have been great. Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. I agree with that, Matt. Because we know that they're in development. He mentioned that. We know he's seen some things, right? As it relates to development for PlayStation 5 stuff. And we have to remember, the way things are set up now, just adjust this audio in my ear real quick, is that they can decide to show you a trailer tomorrow if they wanted to, if it's ready, right? Or next Tuesday. They could easily do that. Everyone is feeling the weight of production, because we're really thinking about the fact that we can produce anything that we want from the comfort of our own homes, right? Yeah, definitely something soon at another occasion. If it's ready, I mean, we all want to see it, right? We all want to see the next, what is it, Ghost of Tsushima? Tsushima, right? That's a PlayStation 5 title, if I remember correctly. Hopefully I'm not mistaken that for something else, for another system, right? We'd love to see some in-game play, you know, with that, if that's a PlayStation title. I think it is, in my mind. We'd love to see that, right? Or the next sports title, if that's your thing. We'd love to see that, you know, maybe Mortal Kombat or, you know, something, or Samurai Showdown, or a next virtual fighter, if even possible, or which a developer and publisher that's completely on board with the PlayStation 5. We'd love to see all that stuff. And it's kind of weird for me to even say that on the PC, because I'm on the PC side of things now, but I still appreciate what consoles do. You know, a lot of the exclusives are there. And I think that, well, backwards compatibility games get a boost. Well, it mentioned that it sounds like you're going to get a boost system wide. So if it is a system wide boost, then that may be a boost on the performance for the backwards compatible games as well. Because he mentioned 100, right? 100 that would be playable. It didn't say we're only going to do 100 and that's it. But at the start of what will be available will be 100. So if the overall boost and the CPU is going to transfer power that it's not using to the GPU, then I would conclude, based on the presentation today, that you may get a performance boost on those backwards compatibility games as well. So I would go that route. That's a safe route to go. It's not superimposing things that are not there, right? I'm not necessarily making a conclusion based on information that he didn't give. I'm drawing a larger conclusion based on information that he did give on the presentation today. So based on the CPU given additional power that it's not using, to the GPU, and based on the frequency is not necessarily going to be the only thing. There's going to be a overall boost based on what he mentioned about God of War, right? Because if God of War would be running the fan speed really, really high, why don't we just boost the overall power and then adjust the frequency as needed, right? Which is what he was saying. And if that's the case, if that's what we're going to do, then there's always going to be additional power available for whatever is needed. And if we're talking about a PlayStation 4 game on a PlayStation 5 console, whether it's emulated or whatever, it's not going to be a PlayStation 4 title. It's not going to be more powerful than a PlayStation 5 title. So based on that, I'm going to draw the conclusion that there should be available power to boost. Are you talking about video boost or performance boost? If we're talking about performance boost, loading times, loading screens, things like that, I would say based on what he said, I would say yeah, right? Hopefully they'll have some filtering systems for the actual graphical presentation for our eyes, right? Maybe that'll look a little bit better. So I would say it's not, it wouldn't be incorrect to conclude that if there's additional power available to do more, and PlayStation 4 is going to be backwards compatibility with the PlayStation 5, then we can conclude that we should see some kind of performance boost, even if it's a small percentage, right? So that's how I would conclude that for me. So we did see that happen for, and how can we conclude that? How can we, you know, assess those things? We did see some performance boost even when Xbox did the emulation or whatever they called it for Xbox 360 on the Xbox One, right? So we did see some kind of improvement. It was small because it was minor, but it was noticeable. And I think we appreciated the fact that they're able to scale certain things, filter certain things to make some of those games that were on the 360 look as good, if not better, on the Xbox One console. So it's definitely possible. And if we're focusing on a custom GPU from AMD, more power, more continuous power flowing through the system, and if the system is not using the power, they're going to give it to the GPU. If all those things are, based on the tech talk we got today, the real deal, then yeah, we should see performance, even if it's a small percentage. And I'm going to continue to say that so I don't get pinged for it in any way, shape, or form. Even if it's a small boost, even if the percentage is like 2%, let's just use a number. Even if the percentage for performance is 2%. That's 2% that you didn't have before, right? I mean, just, you know, thinking about it now, I liked it. I think it was cool. I think it did what it was designed to do for the individuals that are interested in that stuff or looking for the ROI for that stuff. It definitely gives us something to talk about, you know, not a lot of things to look at. I mean, we can look at the slides, right? But outside of that, yeah, I'm definitely excited to hear more, man. It's so besides the graphic stuff, the backwards compatibility, what else did you guys take away from it? So we're in March, April, May, June. You may get something at E3, digital E3, because they did say, so we know all conventions are canceled and all that stuff, but companies are still gearing up to present something around that time. Yeah, you know, it's a lot, as we've noticed throughout the years, for companies to take the time to do that. They only just do the previous generation leading into the next generation for the product that they have coming out. You learn you don't want to drop it, right? Nah, don't drop that. I mean, if anything, I would have... The only disappointment I have with the entire presentation is I would have loved to see the actual design, right? If the console is going to be coming out pretty soon, at least show us the design. Maybe the design is going to be revealed in June, right? Maybe design and price. Because if we get another presentation at Digital E3, because they do plan to have stuff in June, right? Because even if I go back to... Hold on. You know what? Let me just go back to it. Let me see if I can pull up this email real quick. Okay, another email just got my attention. Hold on a second. Let's do E3. No, I should do ESA. ESA for the email here. Okay. So it says, after careful consultation with our member companies regarding the health and safety of everyone in our industry, our fans, our employees, our exhibitors, and our longtime E3 partners who made the difficult decision to cancel E3 2020. Okay, blah, blah, blah. Follow increase in overwhelming concerns about the COVID-19. Okay, blah, blah. We felt that was the best way to proceed in such an unprecedented global situation. We're very disappointed. Okay. We're also exploring options with our members to... coordinate an online experience to showcase industry announcements and news in June 2020. So they're still planning to do that. Updates will be shared on e3expo.com. We thank everyone who shared their views on reimagining E3 this year. We look forward to bringing you E3 2021 as a reimagined event that brings fans, media, and the industry together in a showcase that celebrates the global video game industry. So June, I mean, you still have stuff happening. Everything is adjusted. I mean, the email that caught my attention, I was just like, So the email I was looking at basically talks about me needing remote access to access a particular machine for me to do something locally, right? And that's where we are right now. We're there. That's the world that we're living in right now, man. It is crazy right now. And we still have to go buy some snacks. So I'm trying to figure out. I was supposed to do that this morning. I'm fully aware I was supposed to do that this morning. But I heard that there was a restriction to do that because there's the elderly needs to go early in the morning and then we can go after the elderly. So I'm like, all right, so maybe if I go at 8 or 9, I'm good. But I slept through that. So now it's like, all right. So I have to go between now and before the traffic hits, if anything, if people are still driving on the road. So, yeah. So there is that stuff. Yeah. Snack attack. But yeah, I would have loved to see the design. The design would have been cool to see. And we didn't get to see that. What's the background of that individual? So I can look up this. I don't know this person. So let's look up where is this person coming from? Head of PlayStation Worldwide Studios, Amsterdam, the Netherlands. Did they work on a particular game or did they lead anything in the past? Younger guy, right? So don't miss a deep dive into... Oh, let me just pull up this thing so you guys can see what I'm looking at. So this guy right here, this is the guy you're talking about, head of PlayStation Worldwide Studios. I'm just close some things here. Horizon and Killzone. Horizon did well. Killzone did well, right? Okay, so let's see what he's talking about here. Thanks to Team San Diego for the hard work to bring the great sports franchise to the fans every year. Ghost of Tsushima. Okay, so I wasn't crazy. It is here. It is. Now, 3D audio in this game is going to be just dumb, okay? We're gonna be hearing, like, blood coming off the blades on this thing. It's going to be insane. And who knows? Maybe 2 years down the road or a year down the road, you're going to get a PC port, if you want to call it that, right? Because the games are being made on PC anyway to be on consoles, but that's, I don't know why people argue that. I don't think that's an argument. Blade Blood. I don't think, right? I don't think that's an argument, man. We just have to be okay with the fact that fandom is not rational, man. You know, and some people can't express themselves in such a way or articulate themselves in such a way where they can have a conversation with somebody who doesn't agree with them. I'm not going to say that a console is more powerful than a PC. It doesn't make sense. Leaf sounds. Absolutely. Leaf sounds are going to be intense. They're going to be crazy. Right? You're probably going to smell like the flowers coming off the trees and stuff. It's going to be crazy. So yeah. So fandom is wild, man. And some people take it too far. That's just what they do. Death Stranding? Yeah, Death Stranding. Thanks for playing it for me, by the way. So then we have smell. Yeah, you're going to be able to smell the flowers. So I think some people have to be tested, right? So you mentioned Horizon Zero Dawn and you mentioned Killzone. Both were incredible titles. So if he had a lot to do with those titles being what they are, their titles, they're not running a ship, right? But if he ran those ships successfully, right? Give you a little, I'll give you greater. So now he has greater. Yeah, you can deliver my packages, man, because I'm not playing that game right now. I'm not playing that game right now. So there's much to do. You can count on me. There's much to do in The Division right now and Destiny. Because, so my only gripe with those two games right now. Actually, no. My only gripe with Division right now is the fact that matchmaking is super slow, right? And when you do get match made with somebody. I'm looking at my keyboard. I'm like, what does this button do? I don't know if it does what I think it's going to do. What does this button do? Oh, okay, it does. All right. There you go. Full screen. That's what I was looking for the keyboard. So you know what? Let's go ahead and let me just press it to get out of it. All right, hold on a second. Let me just play this real quick.
Jin. When we fight, we face our enemy head on. And when we take their life, we look them in the eye with courage and respect. This is what makes us samurai. There must be thousands of them. Face death and defend our home.
We do what we must, Lord Sakai. That is why you and I are both survivors.
I am samurai.
No, you are more than that. You are the ghost. Convince your people to join me, and I will give them peace.
We will never serve you. fight like that? It was nothing.
You are more than a samurai. He is a vengeful spirit. Back from the grave to slaughter the Mongols.
If you continue down this path, you will be no better than the Mongols. I trained you to fight with honor.
Honor died on the beach. The Khan deserves to suffer.
Big man, thanks for the follow.
Sacrifice everything for my home.
Wow. Wow. Okay. All right. So, I mean, we got stuff to look forward to. We got stuff to look forward to, man. That was crazy. Let me scroll back up. Big Matt, welcome, man. Appreciate you. Ghost is coming out on PS4. For you wonder will get ported to PS5, I'm thinking it will. Yeah, I mean, listen, we got something to look forward to. And I think that this individual right here, what does this button do? Let me just hit it again. This individual right here, if they've done a lot of fantastic work with... I have two Big Mac accounts. They both follow you now. Appreciate it. I appreciate that. Thanks for the follow. Thanks so much. So if they... If he's done good work, I mean, we're only going to expect, you know, good work from this individual as well. Herman Holtz. So we'll see what's happening with that. So hit this button again. So, yeah. So PlayStation 5, I think that based on the information that we got today, it'd be great if we see some more stuff in June. So I'm excited about it. I'm excited about it. I'm excited for, let me see where my excitement is. I'm excited for the individuals who are going to experience it because I may not experience it right away, right? Because I still have the standard PlayStation 4 with an upgraded hard drive. That's it. So any game that came out for PlayStation 4, I can enjoy those. I no longer have PSN, so I can't do anything with that. So I don't know. Right. I do have Bayonetta that I need to play. I need to figure out how to route my audio to OBS. So once I install the software for me to do that, then I will go ahead and start playing that. So I do have that. What do we call those things again? They made the game look better, essentially. So it's Bayonetta. So you know what you're getting with Bayonetta. And yeah. So yeah, we did get Bayonetta in Vanquish. So I need to check out Bayonetta, and Daniello will probably do Vanquish. I feel like it's been a long time since I've been a good extra Sony press conference, but maybe I'll have to get used to how. Yeah, things are changing. Things are changing. We just have to be okay with it because, like, just the way things are set up now and how we are trying to stay healthy and stay safe with our families and stuff like that, it's definitely times have changed, man. And I think out of this, you know, particular time and season, state of play you're going to get, right? State of play you're going to get, definitely. And even with, you know, content creators just being more stepping up to create, right? Yeah, because if they canceled everything, they're rerouting all that money. Like, they're going to use, like, the first time we knew that PlayStation was not going to be at E3 or do PlayStation Experience was through the podcast, right? So they went on a podcast, their podcast, right? The PlayStation Blogcast, to announce that they weren't going to be at certain events. So they started using those platforms, and that got just as much traction as if they were to do a press release or something like that. So podcasts are no longer this little thing that you're doing in a corner because you want to be cool, right? You want to hang out with the cool kids, right? It's a global platform where you can share information about anything that's happening in your industry, in your life, and anything that you're doing, right? So they went on PlayStation Blogcast. This was probably a year ago or a year plus removed. And they announced that they were going to be at certain events coming up, right? So then, not too long after that, we started seeing all these companies do their digital trailer launches. We know Nintendo did Direct Play for the last couple of years now. They've been doing that for a long time, where they pre-record something and they premiere it at a particular time at an event or at a convention, right? So this is how we do things now, right? So even here, like I'm sitting here and I'm looking at the time. I'm like, you know, hey, you know, I want to see what's happening with the PlayStation thing, right? I open up a free program, right, called OBS, right? Granted, you know, the internet and stuff like that, you need that. But then I make sure that it's running. I got my scenes, right? I got one scene here. I got this scene there, right? You just make sure you have your scenes ready. And then you start doing the commentary of the things that you're paying attention to, right? We didn't have all this cool stuff, you know, when we first started. OBS was making a name for itself. XSplit was always a little bit ahead of OBS. OBS started getting all these partnerships and people throwing money at them for them to be better. They just announced update 25 yesterday, and I thought there was something wrong with my OBS until I realized I needed an update. And then you have the Stream Elements stuff. I mean, come on, right? You have Anchor if you want to do podcasts for free, which I wouldn't recommend Anchor. I would not. But if you do want to do podcasting, I got you, right? You can use our code TSR with Libsyn and get some free weeks and stuff like that. So we got you. But there's so many different things that we have at our disposal when it comes to doing these things that we love to do, you know, talk about or create, right? And we have them. We just have to use them. And I think what's going to happen now, getting to the point that I was getting to, is a lot of individuals are going to really embrace the fact that this is how we create, and they're going to start creating for themselves. Let's get this music back up here. And it's good to see, you know? So if you have podcasts and you've been sitting on it for a while, I'm not pointing at anybody right now, Aaron. You should, you know, jump back and create, because every voice is important. Put this music. Where's my music? Every voice is important, man. Dun 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 dun. So, all right, so now I need to add an extra layer to that, right? Every voice is important, but not every voice is valued. Is that fair? I don't think that's a hot take, right? Everybody's just get so crazy when it comes to hot takes. Every voice is important, but not every voice is valued, right? I think that's a fair statement. I don't think there's anything incorrect about that. Did I say something wrong with that? I don't think so. I don't think that's a hot take. Okay, all right, I appreciate that. You know, it's not, you know, there's reasons why you watch certain individuals or listen to certain individuals, right? Why do we listen to Joe Rogan? If we do, I know I do. I love Joe Rogan. Why do you listen to Gary Vee? Why do you listen to Celine Dion as an artist? Why would you listen to Kanye as an artist, right? There's just different voices that we look at, you know, or a Joe Budden podcast. Why do you listen to his stuff, right? Right? Why do you look at, you know, Sarah Dici videos? You know, why do you look at Melanie Mack? Right? Why do you look at Harris Heller? Why do you, you know, who? Why? Why? Why do you, why? Most of them are talking about the same thing. That's not what I'm saying. That's not, because I have to add the caveat because everybody has something to say, right? And I think depending on where they are, they grow to making sure that they what they're saying is coherent, right? Because what typically happens is certain voices aren't valued because what they're saying isn't coherent, right? And I think because it's not coherent, then we don't want to listen to it. I'm not throwing names out there because I don't know. Because I'm very particular about what I listen to, right? So I think that even in the beginning, you know, I guess to talk about myself, I wasn't that coherent in the beginning. You talk about first 100 episodes of the podcast, first 200 episodes of the podcast. I think, I mean, if we're being fair, I'd say 200 episodes in, then that's when I really got my groove, right? I really understand what I was bringing to the table. I didn't apologize about it. And I took the hits where I needed to take it. I took the bruises where I needed to take them. And then here we are, right? 500 plus episodes later, still learning, still trying to laugh more, still trying to, you know, joke around more. I think it's hard to do that with certain interviews because if I'm talking to the person for the first time, I'm still trying to gauge them in the first 20 minutes. And then if they allow me to engage them to a place where we can have a real conversation, then we can have a real conversation. We can laugh and we can, you know, have a good time, right? But I think it takes time to even get there, right? Depending on how much the person gives you. So if you do a pre-chat and they give you enough, then it's easy to roll into the conversation. So if it's my friends, I mean, I could talk to them all day, you know, crack jokes with them and stuff like that. And I'm trying to let more of that out. Well, I'm confessing right now. I'm trying to let more of that out on the podcast, right? If it's evident that I have a relationship with somebody, I want that to overflow in the podcast, not just when we're having private conversations. So I think that's the next step. That's the next, quote unquote, in context with this word, right? Evolution of how we're creating. Not as much structure, but yet, you know, you can have your bullet points, but yet let it flow, right? And I think that's what we're looking for. We're looking for, you know, conversations that we can really say, yeah, more laughs, more love and stuff like that, that you really can feel that while you're driving in your car or, you know, walking your dog or things like that, right? So I think that's the, I think for me, that's really the next step on those conversations, which is why things like being ready to record even before the person gets there. So when you listen to WTF, right? If you do, right? I have in the past, I haven't lately, but I think Joe Rogan kind of been listening to Joe Rogan a little bit more. But WTF with Marc Maron, I have to remember his name. So great podcast, right? But the technical aspect of that podcast is what intrigued me to do certain things on my side. One of the things that Marc Maron does is before the person even gets to his place to record, mics are already on, mics are already hot, right? So as soon as they walk in, they sit down, he's not wondering if he has to press record. Because some of the greatest conversations or bits that happen usually happen when they're just walking in, sitting down, or they finally leave in the last 5 to 10 minutes, right? So those are some of the greatest bits. So if you're pressed for time, then you shouldn't be recording at that particular time frame because your best bits may come from the top of that show, pre-chat, if you're already recording, and then post-chat. If you say, okay, yeah, all right, we're going to end it here. But once you say we're going to end it here, now the person is reflecting on how great the conversation was, and then they decide to give you more. So if you stop recording, you know, you'll never get that back. So now, but if you didn't stop recording, then you can say, hey, can I use that in addition to what we just recorded? And they say, yeah, then you got the clear to do it. So I think little things like that. So even with the voice meter stuff lately. So if you're looking into voice meter, I think I got the command for it. If you do voice meter in chat, it should give you the link to that tutorial. And it's getting a lot of good traction. People seem to love it. And I really wanted to make sure that was as the best that it could be. So any individual trying to record a podcast or they're trying to do a Skype conversation or Discord conversations that, thanks, Aaron, appreciate that, that they have the opportunity to do that for themselves, right? So, yeah. So that is the next step. That is the next evolution on things. So let's see how much time I have here. I definitely want to do some voice meter stuff since I'm already here. Since we're already here, we can talk about voice meter. At a glance, the program is very, very people look at certain things and they tie a dollar amount to their quality and value. And the company basically says, you pay what you think it's worth. Right? And it does a lot very, very well. It just takes a little time to understand how it works, right? And I love it. Let me go over here real quick and see if we can set some things up here. I've gotten a better understanding of it through, I guess, the last couple of months. And if I get a better understanding of something, most likely a video will probably follow. Especially if I believe that if a person who's not technically savvy can do it, then I know the video is really good. Right? And I think that it's scary at first when you're looking at it. But it does things so well. Which is why I'm kind of like evangelizing this video really, really strong right now, because I believe that we got to a spot where, I know there's other tutorials out there, but I'm biased, of course, right? They're not my video, right? And you have to be confident in your work. And that's the other thing, too. So I'm biased when it comes to that stuff. And some of the videos didn't get right to the point. And I was looking for a resource that got right to the point. Yeah, man. Absolutely. Absolutely. Actually, maybe I should just do... I'm getting ready to talk about this live right now. Hold on. Let me see. I'll spend a few minutes on it. Because I know that you said that some individuals in your community, Aaron, that they were trying to gauge if they wanted to use something like this. Because not everybody can just put out for like an expensive mixer, right? Not everybody can put out for an expensive mixer. And I think because of that, some of these resources that are available. Yeah. Yeah. And I think that what happens is and then to be fair to the individuals who do pay the $400 to $600 for the particular mixer, is what you're paying for is the ease of use to do the things without necessarily having to figure out the other things, right? You just want to press the button and make sure it does exactly what you want it to do, right? You're paying for that. You've paid for that. You've earned the right to do that. And some individuals are like, okay, I'm starting out, or I want to see if there's other ways that I can do that. So rather than paying the $400, they want to wait till maybe their platform gets to a place where they just get the product, right, for a review and end up keeping it. That's an option. Or get enough donations from their community to get the product. That's another option, right? Or get gifted the product from Amazon wishlist, or that's another option, right? So it depends. It depends. It depends on the situation. Depends on the need, right? And I think that this for me, outside of, and it's not, and I think that I don't think I wanted to buy a mixer. So it's reverse for me. Like when I'm thinking about some of these things, it's like, all right, what is the stuff available right now that I could use to maximize what I'm doing and still get the same results, right? And keeping costs down. Now, I've been fortunate. So my situation is a little bit different because I've been fortunate because a lot of the things that I use were given to me, right? This PC, outside of me buying the case, was built for free, right? The A50, A40, Logitech G stuff for free. The keyboard I type on was free from Logitech. The mouse was free. The controller, the C40, was given to me, right? So there's a different situation there. PlayStation 4 was a gift. The Xbox was a gift. The PS3 was a gift, right? The Xbox 360 is probably the last console I purchased, right? So it's a different situation here. Blessed and highly favored. I get it. But not everybody's going to be able to put all the money out for these kind of things that we enjoy. So you're looking at me like, hey, if that's the case, how do you get to get all these things? Well, I mean, we can look at 520 episodes plus the ones that we didn't name, and we can kind of answer that question, right? There's been a platform. There's been something laid out there to get certain things. So my payment has been the grind itself, right? That's been my payment. Someone else's payment has been whatever they did to get the money for, right? Or the entertainment that they provided to their community via streaming, and they paid for that particular product, right? So the payment is different, but the grind is the same. It's the same thing. So it's just channeled differently, right? So when I'm sitting here editing hundreds of episodes and some random Rambo on Twitter is wondering, why is Logitech sending me stuff? It you know, it doesn't make sense. So you have to see where the other things add up along the way.
So episode 524, let's do some takeaways, especially with this tech talk. I knew it was going to be a tech talk, so I was like, how much of it am I going to sit through? I definitely want to see what they're going to present. Are they going to do a trailer in between? You know, anything like that. But I kind of knew that it was going to be a PowerPoint presentation, which is what it was. So definitely some takeaways with that is the SSD is going to be dope, right? So they talked about that for the first really 22 minutes plus of that presentation. They talked about the custom GPU. And obviously, they talked about a lot of things in between, but these are the highlights that caught my attention. The custom GPU was the second thing that was major. And then the 3D audio was something that they mentioned. They kind of threw a little jab at the Dolby Atmos because according to what they're going to bring to their platform, the Tempest engine is going to be something to be desired as much as 3D audio. They're going to have 5 presets or maybe potentially have 5 presets for you as you listen to the audio that they're going to provide. It wouldn't surprise us if they actually bring out a product, maybe a headphone specifically designed for that. And maybe 1 or 2 years later on down the road, they might consider licensing that technology to other headphones that they see are, you know, can hold and have the PlayStation seal on it, right? So these are some of the things that caught my attention. The SSD, the custom GPU, 3D audio. And definitely, I'm not using 3D audio for any scary games because I do not play scary games. So that's pretty much it. Hope you guys enjoyed episode 524. Definitely spread the love. Just tell somebody about the show. That's greatly appreciated. Whether you review or not review, that's up to you. But sharing the episode really matters to us as we continue to grow and provide more conversations, quick hits, or even hot topics that I definitely want to hit. Even some sports stuff I've been seeing that I really want to engage in a little bit. Maybe bring a friend or you know, just have that conversation according to those things. So 524, that's pretty much it. Hope you guys enjoy that. And take care. See you on the next one.